Hello, I'm Dr. Margaret Paul, and we're doing a free webcast and simultaneous telephone seminar on healing addictions through inner bonding. And I want to welcome all of you. I'm going to be muting everybody right now so that everybody can hear, because there'll be background noise, so here I'm going to mute. And we're going to start with talking about the various causes of addictions. The main cause of addictions is not knowing how to manage your painful feelings. And the deepest feelings that most people have never learned to manage are the feelings of loneliness, heartache, and heartbreak, and the feelings of helplessness over others. These are really, really hard feelings to feel. One of the reasons that they're so hard is because think for a moment about being a little baby, and you're crying, and you're hungry, and you're all alone, and nobody comes. Well, the loneliness, and the heartache, and the helplessness are overwhelming, and they're life-threatening, because if somebody doesn't come, you're going to die. And so we grow up being very, very afraid of feeling these particular feelings, the loneliness, the heartache, and the helplessness over others. And what we learn to do is we learn to avoid these feelings with various protections, various addictions. And we learn these at different ages. It's like some of us learned to eat when we were young in order to avoid the feelings, and some people learn to get addicted to nicotine when they're adolescents in order to avoid the feelings. Some people learn to get angry or to shut down, to give themselves up, to caretake. Some people learn to be TV addicts. Of course, there's various kinds of food addictions. Some people eat a lot. Some people eat a lot of sugar. Some people eat, you know, muffins. And so we learned a lot of different ways of avoiding being with those feelings because, for very good reasons, we just didn't know how to handle those feelings. And certainly, most of us did not have parents who showed us healthy ways of managing our feelings. And so we grew up, we had no idea what to do, how to handle them. We had to turn to our various addictions. And we grow up and we still use these addictions. And then we start to abandon ourselves in various ways. When we were young, we felt abandoned by parents and other people in our lives. But as we grow up, we start to abandon ourselves. And there's basically four ways of self-abandonment. One of the major ways that people have of abandoning themselves is they judge themselves. They lie to themselves. We have this wounded part of ourselves, sometimes called the ego, that's very programmed with a lot of false beliefs, a lot of judgments, a lot of lies. And this voice likes to pretty much go nonstop, telling us what's wrong with us, how we can control other people, blaming circumstances, putting ourselves down, forcing ourselves to do things we don't want to do, making us give ourselves up, getting angry, all the things that the wounded self has learned to do to try and have control. And so the moment we're judging ourselves and lying to ourselves, we are basically abandoning ourselves. And once we do that, we're going to feel bad inside, because self-abandonment causes us to feel bad. And the bad feelings are actually our inner guidance system, letting us know that our thoughts and our behavior is very off track. It's not loving to ourselves. It lets us know that we are, in fact, abandoning ourselves. But then what happens is we don't know what to do with our feelings of anxiety and depression and hurt and guilt and shame and anger and rage. We don't know what to do with these because we never learn what to do with them. And so we start with the self-judgment and the lies, and then we feel bad, and then we ignore our bad feelings. And that would be like if we had a child and we yelled at the child and the child started to cry, and then we don't want to know that the child is crying because we've yelled at the child, and now we say, oh, I'll give you something to cry about, and now the child feels even worse because the child's feelings are being ignored. Well, the same thing happens on the inner level. We judge ourselves. We abandon ourselves in that way. Then we don't know what to do with the bad feelings, so we ignore them. And we have various ways of ignoring our feelings, and one of them is we turn to our various addictions. And this can be addictions to substances, to processes, to people, to sex, to love, to connection, to approval, all the different substances, food, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, all the different processes, TV, work, sports, gambling, on and on and on. And we turn to these because we don't know what to do with our feelings. But turning to these addictions is, again, like if you have a child and the child is upset, instead of addressing what's going on and helping the child deal with his or her feelings, it would be like, oh, I'm just going to go watch TV and ignore this child. And the child's going to feel even worse. And that's what happens on the inner level, is we turn to our various addictions, which is another form of self-abandonment, and then that child inside, which is our feeling self, is pacified for the moment, because the reason that the addictions work is they pacify us for the moment we feel better. But because we're not addressing the underlying self-abandonment, we ultimately feel worse, and then we have to cover up those bad feelings with more addictions. And so it becomes a circular thing, that the more we judge ourselves, and then we ignore the feelings of that self-judgment, and then we turn to the addictions as a further abandonment, and one of the addictions may be that we make somebody else responsible for our feelings. We hand our child away to somebody else, and that's another level of self-abandonment. And so pretty soon inside, all we're feeling is anxiety and depression and hurt and aloneness and emptiness and guilt and shame, and we turn to our addictions more and more and more to cover that up because we don't know what to do. And these addictions work for the moment to fill up the emptiness that's inside, that's being created by our self-abandonment. Addictions are a form of control. They're a way to have control over not feeling what you feel. And so anytime we turn to an addiction, rather than really embrace our feelings and learn what we're doing to cause them, we're trying to have control over not feeling what we feel. And as I said before, it's a vicious circle. So let's talk about how to heal. We've talked right now about what causes addictions. Let's take a moment here to talk about how to heal. So I'm going to talk about now the inner bonding process. The inner bonding process is a 6-step process that anyone can learn. It is not a hard process to learn. It's a roadmap. It takes practice. And like anything worth learning, it takes practice. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And it's a process for managing your feelings. It's a process for learning how to take responsibility for your own feelings. It's a process for learning how to bring love into that empty place inside, because that's really what the addictions are about. There's an emptiness in there, and the emptiness is really a lack of love that comes from the self-abandonment. And so what we need inside is we need to get filled with love. And when we don't know how to fill ourselves with love, then we'll fill ourselves with something else. We'll fill ourselves with food or a cigarette or alcohol or drugs or sex or trying to get love from somebody else. You know, many, many ways of trying to fill that emptiness. Inner bonding is a way of learning how to fill up that emptiness without having to turn to the addictions. Now, The only thing that really fills the emptiness is love. And love is not something that is generated within our own body. Love is something that comes through us from our spiritual guidance, our spiritual connection, God, whatever it is you want to call what it is that the universe is all about. In my experience, God is the energy of love. Spiritual guidance is the energy of love. And we can learn to tap into that energy. And it is also the energy of joy, of wisdom, of truth. And we can learn to open to that and be guided by it and bring it inside of us, bring in the love, the compassion, the peace, the joy inside our hearts, inside our souls. And this is what fills up the emptiness. Now, for some of you that have never had a spiritual connection, it might sound like it's a really hard thing to do, but in reality, it's not at all. It's a very, very natural thing to do. But the basis of being able to do it is one's intention. And in the inner bonding process, there's only two possible intentions that you can have at any given moment. And one is the intention to learn about what's most loving to you and others. And the other is the intention to protect against pain and against responsibility for your pain. And so at any given moment, you're either wanting to control. The intention to protect against pain means that you want to control. And the addictions are about that, as I said. They're wanting to control. So at any given moment, we're either wanting to control or we want to learn about what's most loving to ourselves and loving to others. And so this is the basis of the inner bonding process is intention. And I'm going to go through the six steps of inner bonding to show you a bit about what this process is about. And I'm going to then give you an example of what it looks like to go through the process in dealing with an addiction. So let's take an example. Let's take an example of food. When I looked at the questions that many of you sent in, a lot of them were about food addiction. So I'm going to give an example about food. So let's say we're going to go into step one. And step one means that you are willing to feel your feelings, that rather than wanting to cover them over with food, or rather than wanting to avoid them with food, you're willing to feel them. You're willing to feel your anger, your fear, your emptiness, your aloneness, your depression, your anxiety, whatever it is, your hurt, whatever it is that's going on inside. You're willing to feel the feeling. And you make a decision that you want to know that you're the one causing the feeling, that you're the one responsible for the feeling. You want to know this. And that's very basic to step one, is that, number one, you feel your feelings. Number two, you want to know that you're responsible. Those are the two aspects of step one of inner bonding. Once you can feel what you're feeling, whether you're feeling good, feeling bad, and you want responsibility, you move into step two. And here's where we move into the intention to learn. And that means that you move into your heart, you put your focus in your heart, and you invite compassion in. Even if you don't have a spiritual connection, if you just say, oh, I want compassion in my heart for this little child in me that is feeling so bad that he or she just wants to gobble up everything in sight. I want to move into compassion for this part of me that's feeling so bad. And I really want to learn about what I'm doing to cause this. And once you can really feel that in your heart and you can really feel that you want to learn, we go to step three, which is we explore. And we say to that part of us that so much wants to just eat something or have some sugar or binge out, we say to that part of us, what am I telling you? And how am I treating you that's causing you to feel so bad, so empty, so needy, so afraid, so anxious, so depressed? What am I saying to you? How am I treating you? And then we go inside to that part of us that wants to eat. And we let that part of us talk to us. And that part might say, I'm just feeling so alone right now. I'm feeling so empty. Nobody's here for me. You're not here. You're gone. Nobody's taking care of me. Nobody's caring about me. Nobody's standing up for me. Nobody cares about my feelings. There's nobody I can rely on. I don't know what your little girl or boy inside would say, but those might be some of the things that feeling part of you might be saying to you about how you're treating yourself and what you're telling yourself. That part might say, well, you're telling me I'm not doing it good enough. You're telling me I'm not good enough. I never do anything right. You're telling me that nobody will ever love me. You're telling me there's something wrong with me, that I'm flawed. You're telling me I'm not important. You don't treat me like I'm an important person. You keep giving me away to other people who treat me badly. You keep making other people responsible for me. You don't stand up for me in conflict with somebody. You let people run all over me. These are some of the things that little child in us might tell us if we really want to know. Now, this is a very, very important dialogue, because if you're not willing to be in the intention to learn and have the dialogue, then you don't really get to know what you're doing that's creating the emptiness and the aloneness that leads to the addiction, that leads to you wanting to eat or any other addiction. And so this is an awareness process, and you have to be open to learning, because if you're not open to learning, it would be like going to a child and saying, well, what's wrong? The child isn't going to answer a question like that because the child doesn't feel safe. But if you go to a child and you say, honey, I can see you're really upset. Is there anything that I've done? I really want to understand what's happening. The child will probably open up and tell you. And it's the same thing on the inner level. If you're not truly open to learning, which means in inner bonding terms that you are a loving adult, and the loving adult is the part of us that is connected to a higher source of love and compassion and peace and truth. And so when you approach that hurting place inside of you as a loving adult, then that part is likely to talk to you. But when you approach that part from what we call the wounded self, which is the ego, the part that judges and the part that wants to avoid, that's when we'd say, well, what's wrong? Well, you know, what's going on? Why do you want to eat again? What's the matter with you? Why can't you control yourself? It's a judgmental voice. It's a harsh voice. This is the wounded self. This is usually starts in childhood or adolescence, this voice. It's a programmed voice in us. It has tons and tons of false beliefs and judgments. And when we're in that state, when we're in the wounded state, we're disconnected. And it's out of the wounded state that we act out addictively. Because when we're in that wounded state, our whole intention is to have control over getting love and avoiding pain and feeling safe. And so when that's our intention, when our intention is to get love and avoid pain and feel safe, we are in that wounded state. And out of that wounded state, there's no way you're not going to act out addictively. There's just no way that that's not going to happen. And so it's so vital that you become aware of your intention and you consciously choose to move into the intention to learn. And you consciously choose to invite love and compassion into your heart for yourself. And that's what creates the loving adult state. And even if you don't believe in God or never have had a connection to God, when you choose the intention to learn, it actually opens you to spirit, whether you realize it or not. It's the intention that does it. Because when you move into an intention to learn, the heart opens up. And spirit is always here. It's always here. That love, that compassion, that wisdom, the truth, the guidance, it's always here. It's here like the air we breathe. But it can't come into our awareness when we choose the intention to protect and control, because then our hearts are closed, our minds are closed. There's no place for this energy, this wisdom, this love to come into us. And so when we choose the intention to learn, our hearts open, our minds open, our souls open, and this allows spirit to come in. It's automatic. That's why I say it's not hard. It's automatic. It's just that most people are so used to being in their wounded selves. They think that their wounded self is who they are. They don't realize that this is a part that they created when they were very young, when they didn't get the love that they needed. They created this wounded self to try and feel safe, to try and get the love that they needed, and try and avoid the pain that they couldn't manage. And so we all created this ego wounded self to survive. We needed it as part of our survival. The problem is, it's now it's getting in our way. It is the part that acts out addictively. And so when you move into the intention to learn, the heart opens and love comes in. And it's an amazing thing that happens. And if you learn and practice inner bonding, you're going to start to get that experience of your heart opening. So once you do the dialogue and you understand what you're doing that's causing the emptiness and the aloneness, then you move into step four. And step four is a conscious discussion with your higher guidance. And again, this takes practice. If you've never had a two-way conversation with a source of spiritual guidance, it will be a new experience for you. But it's available for everybody. On the Inner Bonding website, especially in the member site, we teach people all the time. I work with people on the phone and helping them connect with their spiritual guidance. I teach it in my workshops and my intensives, as well as the other facilitators do that as well. There's a lot of support for learning how to connect with your spiritual guidance. It's just not nearly as hard as you think it is. So in step four, we open to learning with our higher guidance. And basically we're asking about two questions. We're asking about what is the truth about any of the false beliefs that we've uncovered in step three, and what is the loving action towards ourselves primarily. In other words, how do we take loving care of ourselves? And when you really ask this question, what is truth and what is love, you're going to be amazed at what information pops into your mind. You see, thoughts can come from two places. Thoughts can either come from your mind, and when they come from your mind, they're always from your wounded self, and they have no validity whatsoever, because the wounded self is just programmed, and it has no access to the truth at all. And then thoughts can come through your mind. They can pop into your mind. Those are the thoughts that come from your source, from your source of truth. And so these are the thoughts that guide you. And when you ask about love and truth, these thoughts are going to pop into your mind. And you're going to be shown information that you have no way of knowing through your limited mind. Now, once you get the information, you move into step five. And step five is taking loving action. And that means that you do whatever it is that your guidance told you to do in step four. And it could be many things. It may be something like speaking up for yourself with a partner. It may be reading a book on nutrition. It may be joining a gym. It may be doing something about anger, learning anger management. It could be all kinds of things that would be helpful to you. There's many, many things that Spirit tells us to do that are very, very helpful, very loving to ourselves. Spirit never tells us to do things that would be harmful for us or things that we wouldn't really want to do or things that wouldn't feel good for us. That's never the way it works. So it's always something that if we do, it's going to make us feel great. And so in step five, we take the loving action. And once we do that, in step six, we go back inside and see how we're feeling. And so, for example, if you're ready to binge out, and instead of binging, you do an inner bonding process, and guidance tells you that instead of binging, to call a friend and reach out for help, that would be the loving action, or join a 12-step group, or get on the inner bonding website, or read a book on nutrition, or whatever it is that guidance might tell you to do, or just sit and hold a doll or stuffed animal and let that child inside know that he or she is not alone, and then you do that, you're going to find yourself feeling better. You're going to find yourself not needing to act out addictively. When you're really taking loving action, you're going to end up feeling filled up inside. When you feel filled up with love inside, you don't need to act out addictively. So that's kind of the outline of the inner bonding process. You know, people can be addicted to many things, as I said before. One of the common addictions that people have is sex and love addiction, where they believe that their best feelings come from somebody else loving them, and their worst feelings come from somebody abandoning them. But as you practice the inner bonding process, you learn that your best feelings come from opening to love and bringing it down inside and really loving yourself, and your worst feelings come from self-abandonment. And that's actually true with any addiction. Your best feelings come from loving yourself. Your worst feelings come from abandoning yourself. So I'd like to talk for a few minutes about how you can learn all this and get support with all of it, and then I'm going to open up for questions. I have a list of questions, and I'm also going to open up to those of you that want to ask some and get some one-to-one help with it. Our website, innerbonding.com, has both a public side and a membership site. Right now, the membership is $9.95 a month. It's going to be going up soon to $14.95. So for those of you that are interested, you might want to join soon, because it will stay, for those who are already at $9.95, it will stay at that. It won't be going up. And you get an enormous amount on the website. The reason it's going up is that we're going to be having free podcasts that you can download once a month, where people ask questions and I answer them. And you'll be able to download those once a month. And that's the reason that it's going up. But on the website currently, you can ask me and Dr. Erica Chopich, who's the other co-creator of Inner Bonding. You can ask us questions on the site at any time. And we answer. You'll get the answer in email, usually within hours of the time you ask the question. And it shows up on the site anonymously. And other people can then respond and offer you help as well. And many people do respond and offer each other a lot of help. We have very active discussion groups where people share what's going on with them and get a lot of help and information from other members. We have hosted chats where generally 5 days a week a facilitator is hosting a chat. You can join any of those and get help there. And we have spontaneous chats where people come on all times of day or night to help and support each other. We also have many facilitators that have been trained in inner bonding, and they charge various fees. But we also have a number of facilitators in training that do free facilitation only for members of the site. And they do it both on the phone and in the chat rooms for members only, for those people that can't afford facilitation. The website has many articles, and half of them are on the public site, and half of them are only on the member site. I write one every week for members only, and it's more in-depth than the ones that are on the public site. And then members of the site can comment on the articles, and it's another way to support and help each other. And then Dr. Erica does a blog, and she presents the lighter side of life with day-to-day tips and funny things, and she's got a big following on her blog. It's very inspiring, and it also inspires a lot of discussion. it's really a community, so members can also submit their own articles, their creative writing, their poetry, their art, their photography, recipes, movie reviews, book reviews, and also, excuse me, members can also comment on those as well. And so it's a pretty well-rounded community. We have videos of people doing the inner bonding process. That's only available for members as well to help you further understand what it looks like to do the inner bonding process. So when you join our community, you're joining a community of people who care about each other and help each other to learn the inner bonding process and stay on track with the process. And Erica and I are on the site many, many, many times a day to help you. So if you're really interested in healing and personal and spiritual growth and creating loving relationships, this is where you're going to receive help. There's no other site on the web like it. There's no place where you'll receive more support, more compassion, more understanding, and more help than on the Inner Bonding site. And as I said, I also offer phone sessions, as do the other facilitators. So I am going to take a couple of the questions that people wrote in, and then I'm going to unmute and let some of you ask questions. So Michelle in Los Angeles asked, can someone be addicted to people? And so, yes, I did mention this, that we can get addicted to people very easily because so many of us think that our best feelings come from other people valuing us, other people loving us, liking us, giving us time and attention. And when you don't know how to do that for yourself, it's very, very easy to get addicted to other people doing it for you. So Yumi in Japan asks, I understand the phenomena called spiritual bypass is a type of addiction. How can I tell if I'm experiencing this bypass or not? So a spiritual bypass is when people actually use their spirituality, like, say, meditation, to bliss out and avoid their feelings. Anything that we use to avoid our feelings becomes an addiction. Even meditation becomes an addiction when you're using it to avoid your feelings. And so if after you meditate you still feel anxious and depressed, then you pretty much know that you're using your spirituality as a bypass to avoid your feelings, because if you're really using it to learn and grow, you're going to end up feeling better and better rather than worse and worse. So I'm gonna unmute right now, and if anybody wants to ask a question, I'd like to hear your question. Are you unmuted now? Hello? Is there anybody there?
Hello?
Okay, there we
Hello.
Go.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
So, would any of you like to ask a question?
This is Davina. This is my first teleseminar. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good.
It feels very natural to want to be safe and protect yourself, and it feels very vulnerable to step out there and want to learn. How do I get rid of that, and also how do I get rid of the judgment in myself of, well, you still want to stay safe, and that's not right, that's wrong. You should want to step out there and be willing to hang your ass on the line, so to speak. How do I get rid of that?
Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody again so everybody can hear better, and I'm going to answer the question. So it's a very good question. Certainly we all want to be safe, and it's hard to want to reach out and take the risk of being opening to learning. But the problem that I'm hearing here is that you're in judgment, and this is what makes it very hard. You're saying to yourself, well, I should want to do this. I should want to put myself out there. I should want to learn. And the minute you put that judgment on yourself, there's a part of you that's going to resist it and say, oh, no way. This is not loving. I'm not going to do this. So the first thing that you need to do is take the judgment off the part of you that is afraid of learning. And you need to open to compassion for that part of you. It's only through being in compassion for your own fears that we're willing to be vulnerable enough to start to open. Otherwise, opening is just way, way too scary. And so I want to encourage you to become more aware of how much you're judging yourself. I should do this. I should do that. I should want to do that. I should want to reach out. I should want to learn. Those shoulds are what keep you stuck, keep you locked into protecting. It just feels too scary inside when you're judging yourself. So I'm going to try and unmute, and if you want to ask me anything more about that, you can. Whoops. Okay. So was there something else you wanted to ask me? Do you understand the answer that I gave you?
Actually, I think it opened up a little bit for me because I guess what I hear you say is that if you don't want to learn, then you're not going to heal and you're not going to get this process. And so the judgment is, well, I have to want to learn if I'm going to get it. If I don't want to learn, I'm not going to get it. And since I want this, I should be ready to start doing that since I want to heal so bad. But I kind of got a visual when you were talking about taking the judgments off, like taking off clothing from a piece of your body that's kind of suffocating from that. So
instead of telling yourself you should, you might want to look inside and find the part of you that actually wants to. Because there is
dialed this number and got me on the call.
That's exactly right. I was about to say you wouldn't be on this call if there wasn't a part of you that really wants to.
And well, I'm saving up so that I can be on your 6-week telephone sessions. I'm saving up for that.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, I'll look forward to talking to you on that.
Okay.
So is there anybody else that would like to ask a question?
Yes, I would like to ask a question, if I may.
Okay.
My name is Yvonne. I'm very, very happy to be on this conference call. And,
well, good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really seriously thinking about taking up a membership.
I hope you do.
And just this week, actually, there was a situation that did come up, and I have abandonment issues that from when I was young, I was raised with deaf parents, and there was physical abuse also, and so I'm feeling so vulnerable and shaky inside just thinking about it. I tried to tap into this feeling, if it's the emptiness, if it's anxiety, and something is not in me feeling safe to reach that part of me. I want to reach out and get a Doreen Virtue Angel card, or I want to get some...
Okay, honey, you know what? I'd like to work with you a little bit right now, okay? Are you feeling that anxiety right now, Yvonne?
It's there.
Pardon me?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I want you to breathe into that anxiety right now. Just breathe into it. And imagine that you're sitting with a little girl who's very anxious. I just want you to take a moment to be with your own anxiety. Just imagine putting your arms around you as a little girl. And see if you can find a place in you that actually wants responsibility for that anxiety, for creating that anxiety now. See if you can let go of it being about the past and about your parents. And see if you can find a place in you that really wants the responsibility for creating that anxiety now. Can you find that within you?
Yes, there's a calm place that's there that's accepting this.
Okay, good. So now I want you to put your focus in your heart.
It is.
And breathe into your heart. And just invite love and compassion to come in. It'll come in when you're really open to it. And move into that intention to learn. This is step two. And now moving into step three, ask that anxious part of you, what am I telling you right now in this moment? What am I telling you right now that's making you anxious?
But you're not lovable.
Okay, that you're not lovable. Now, if you imagine saying that to a real child, you're not lovable?
It's
wouldn't
impossible.
That child... Pardon me?
It's impossible. A child is lovable.
Of course. And so this is the wounded part of you that is telling yourself a lie. And as I said earlier, when we lie to ourselves and we judge ourselves, it's always going to create anxiety. And the anxiety is our inner guidance letting us know that we've abandoned ourselves with our lies and self-judgments. And so when that wounded part of you says you're not lovable, yeah, your little girl is going to feel anxious because she's telling you, you're telling me a lie. Now, quickly, I'd like you to just move back into your heart. I'd like you to open to guidance right now, even if you're not sure what that is.
Oh,
and
I
just
understand what that is.
Okay, good. And ask the question, what is the truth? What is the truth?
I'm a wonderful, wonderful child.
Right, that is the truth. And now ask your guidance, what do I have to do so that my child feels the truth of that? How do I have to start to treat her so that she actually feels the truth of how wonderful she is?
Take her hand.
Pardon me?
Take her hand.
Take her hand. Okay, so that's the first thing, is to take her hand. And you might want to get yourself a dollar stuffed animal and just start holding her. And that may help her to know that she's valuable and important to you. So this is just a very, very brief process. The inner bonding process goes much, much deeper, but I just wanted to give you an example of that. And I'm going to mute again because it is kind of noisy. And I'm going to answer some other people's questions here. Okay, good. So, I have another question. If I was raised by a father that was self-centered, and I married a selfish man to later divorce him because of his betrayal, I have done therapy and have healed the inner child and have understood the codependency patterns. I was told that I would always attract a man that is self-centered or narcissistic. Is this really true? No, it's very sad to me that somebody told you that. But that's not at all true. That the more you learn to take loving care of yourself, and the more you practice the inner bonding process and learn to bring love into yourself, the more tuned in you will be to men who are self-centered or narcissistic, and you will not find yourself attracted to them. We are attracted to people like that when we grew up with parents like that and we haven't done our healing work of learning to take responsibility for our own pain and our own joy. But when you really, truly learn to take full 100% responsibility for your own feelings, you're not going to be attracted to a man who is not taking responsibility for his feelings. And so a man that is self-centered or narcissistic is definitely not taking responsibility for his feelings. You would not find him at all attractive. But if you have not learned to take responsibility for your feelings, you will continue to find that kind of man attractive. Okay, I'm going to move on to another question. I'd like to know how you see the link between inner bonding, our capacity to trust and have faith, and the capacity to recover from addictions, and then how shame interfaces with all of this. So, inner bonding is a process that hopefully leads you into trust and faith. The more you practice the process, the more you connect with your guidance, the more you find yourself in trust and faith that you really are being loved, that you're really not alone, that you really are being guided. One of the wonderful things about inner bonding is getting the experience of knowing you're never, ever alone, that your guidance is always, every single moment, always here, helping you to know what is in your highest good. And that leads to deeper and deeper trust and faith in spirit, in God. And And the question is the capacity to recover from addictions, as I'm talking about, that the more you learn to bring the love inside and fill yourself with spirit, that is what enables you to heal whatever the addictions are. When I was younger, I had a very intense food addiction. And I tried everything. I tried all forms of therapy. And at that time, all sorts of pills, all sorts of shots, all sorts of things. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't have control over it until I learned inner bonding. And inner bonding is what made all the difference in the world. I don't have any food addiction at this point in my life because I have learned how to access that spiritual guidance and bring the love inside and fill myself and take loving care of myself so that my little child knows how beautiful and wonderful she is because of how I take care of her, and she doesn't have the need to fill up from outside. And so whatever the addictions were, and there were numbers of them when I was younger, have fallen by the wayside as I've over the years, because I've been practicing inner bonding now for 25 years, and so over the years they've fallen by the wayside. And so this person asks, this is Allison in Toronto, asks how shame interfaces with all of this. Shame is an interesting thing. Shame is something we decided on when we were very young as a way to try and have control over getting the love that we needed and avoiding the pain. And what we did is we made a decision that the reason we're not being loved in the way that we want to be loved is because there's something wrong with us. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm defective. I'm flawed. And what this does, this is called core shame. And what core shame does is it gives us the feeling of control. In other words, if it's my fault that I'm not getting love because I'm flawed or I'm defective or I'm unlovable, I can put aside my true self, the beautiful, wonderful, incredible part of me that I've decided is not good enough, and I can create a self that I hope will be acceptable, which is what the wounded ego self is. And so core shame is a way to feel like we have control. And the interesting thing about core shame is that when you really let go of the belief that you can have control over how other people feel about you, when you really accept that you have no control over how other people feel about you, and that, in fact, your good or bad feelings actually have nothing to do with how other people feel about you, it's all about how you treat yourself. Once you let go of that belief that you can control other people, magically, the core shame vanishes. It's amazing. It's so amazing what happens. In my earlier life, I had tons of core shame. I just desperately wanted control over how people felt about me. And if somebody didn't like me, I would say, what did I do wrong? It must be my fault. I must not be good enough. I must have done this. I must have done that. I must have said something wrong. I must not have looked good enough, whatever it was. That's what core shame does. It must be my fault that somebody doesn't like me or somebody's rejecting me. And once I started to practice inner bonding and take care of myself, suddenly I was no longer saying, oh, it must be me, there must be something wrong with me, because I was no longer concerned with how other people felt about me. It was like, okay, they're going to feel whatever they feel. I'm going to be who I am, because the core in all of us is wonderful, incredible, beautiful child of God. I'm going to be who I am, and if they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I found the core shame just vanished. It's amazing what happens when you let go of controlling how other people feel about you. So I'm going to go on to another question. This is from Barb in Boston. What kind of advice do you have for a smoker who just can't seem to kick the habit? I've smoked for about 30 years, quit for 5, then started and have been on and off for the past 2 years. I seem to smoke for 3 reasons: weight control, stress at work, and just because. Any words of wisdom to help me snap out of this cycle would be really appreciated. So the thing about a cigarette is that it becomes your best friend. You can turn to it at any time. You can turn to it when you feel lonely, when you feel empty. There's the cigarette. It's there for you. It's one of the hardest addictions to break because it's such an easy thing to turn to, and it actually works really well for the moment to take away that loneliness, that helplessness, that heartache that I was talking about at the beginning. So the cigarette is a powerful way of taking away that feeling of loneliness. My experience is, again, that when people practice inner bonding and they learn to be there for their own loneliness, they learn to fill their aloneness, they learn to accept helplessness over others, they learn to nurture those feelings, they learn to understand how to take loving care of themselves in the face of those feelings, so that the child inside does not feel alone. That's really the only way of really breaking that addiction, as well as she's talking about weight control, as well as that one, stress at work. All of that is about not knowing how to take loving care of yourself. And so what I suggest is that you learn and practice the inner bonding process, get on the member site. It's not an instant process. This does not work instantly. This is something that the more you practice, the more you learn how to take loving care of yourself, the more you learn how to connect with your spiritual guidance, you will find that you gradually just don't need the addictions. Now, something like nicotine is also a chemical addiction. And for some people, it very much soothes the brain. And so some people may need something like a patch or a nicotine gum to get themselves off the smoking, and then they can gradually get off of that as well, because it is a chemical addiction. It's actually one of the very, very hardest addictions there is to break, because it's both emotional and chemical. Okay. Charles asks, I've learned how to break addictions in my life. However, new addictions keep cropping up. How do I become free of these roving addictions? So, you know, it's really the same thing that we've been talking about. A lot of people, let's say somebody decides to stop drinking and they go into AA. And they're successful in not drinking, but they start smoking and they start eating. And sometimes even the 12 steps themselves become an addiction. They're using that as their loving adult. When you're not in the process of developing your own loving adult through the process of inner bonding, when you're not practicing that day in and day out, really learning how to take loving care of yourself, how to connect to a source of guidance, you are going to be going from one addiction to another, because there's still the emptiness inside. And the emptiness, as I said earlier, is the indication of self-abandonment. And so I want to suggest to you that you learn and practice inner bonding. Inner bonding is a kind of process. It's like if you have an actual baby. You don't put the baby in the crib and walk out and go have dinner and come back later. Most parents have a baby monitor on where when the baby cries, they're right there. They hear the baby. Well, inner bonding is that kind of process. It's about practicing being in step one, that is being aware of your feelings, so that the moment there's any distress, any anxiety, stress, hurt, anger, fear, guilt, shame, whatever, the minute there's any distress, you're right there, wanting responsibility. What am I telling myself? How am I treating myself that's causing this? Most people, when they have stress, when they have distress, they think, oh, you know, what is this person doing? What's that situation? This situation is causing it. That person is causing it. My past is causing it. My childhood caused it. My parents caused it. As long as you're doing that, you're being a victim. You're avoiding responsibility for your own feelings. And so in the inner bonding process, I call it having your inner baby monitor on, where you're tuning in to your feelings throughout the day, and the moment there's any distress, you're right there to look at what you're telling yourself, how you're treating yourself that's causing this pain, and what would be loving to yourself, and what's the truth. When you practice this throughout a day, just like if you're a parent of a baby, you don't just spend time with the baby once and then forget about the baby the rest of the day. Every time the baby cries, you're attending. Well, inner bonding is like that. Every time there's any distress, you're attending. You're not blaming anything or anybody past or present. You're going inside to see how, you know, what you're telling yourself, how you're treating yourself, and going to guidance for what the truth is, what the loving action is. You do that maybe 100 times a day, maybe 10 times a day, but you keep doing it throughout a day, you're going to stop being addicted. And I guarantee that, that anybody who practices inner bonding consistently, their addictions go away. They don't need them. They don't need them when they're really taking responsibility for their own feelings. But, as I said, it's not an instant process. It takes time to learn to do this. Okay, let's see. Here's a question. I have struggled with food addiction and at times sex and love addiction in my life. And though the second is better through not having relationships with the opposite sex, my eating addiction has been the toughest, longest fight and frustration. I've been in 12-step programs, tried commercial programs too, but never stick or do it, or do for a while. 6 years of normal weight and eating in the past, but can't seem to get back to that way of life. Any suggestions? Well, again, what I suggest is that you learn and practice inner bonding. It's such a powerful process. It's an incredible process for filling up that place that just wants to use food to fill up. As long as there's an emptiness, as long as there's self-abandonment, you're going to use the food to fill up. So here's a question, Diana. It says, what can I do to get rid of the constant fear that something wrong is going to happen to me? The wounded part of us almost always believes this. The wounded part of us is a very negative aspect. And especially if you grew up in a family where bad things did happen to you. But even if you did not grow up in a family where bad things happened, you see bad things on television, you hear about bad things happening to other people, the wounded self grabs onto this. And the wounded self thinks it knows. And what's important here is to get that the wounded self, this ego wounded self, which is lodged at the bottom of our left brain, it's a peanut-shaped part of our left brain, doesn't know anything. It is actually completely ignorant. And so when you tell yourself something bad's going to happen to you and you feel fear, the fear is letting you know that you're telling yourself a lie, because spirit never creates fear, ever. Spirit will tell you some things to do to prevent bad things from happening, but it never creates fear. And so the way to feel safe, the way to move beyond this, is to learn the inner bonding process and learn how to connect to your personal source of spiritual guidance so that you can tap into the truth. Because the part of you that keeps telling you that something bad's going to happen to you is lying to you. That part actually doesn't know anything. It has no way of knowing the truth. It has no access to the truth. It's just scaring you, and you're going through your life being scared and scared because this part is constantly telling you something bad is going to happen when it actually has no idea, no way of knowing the truth. When you learn to tap into your spiritual guidance, that's when you can access the truth. That's when you can know, like a brief example, we're almost done here, but I was driving home on the freeway one evening after giving a workshop, and I wasn't driving very fast. I was just driving along, and I heard a voice that said, slow down. Now, this was the voice of my guidance. Sometimes guidance actually speaks in a voice, sometimes in thoughts, sometimes in images, sometimes in feelings. This time it was a voice that said, slow down. And I slowed down. And seconds later, a drunk driver careened across the freeway right in front of me. And if I hadn't slowed down, he would have broadsided me. So my wounded ego mind could never have known that. But my guidance knew it. And my guidance said, slow down. And I listened to my guidance. And so I avoided being broadsided and maybe even killed because I listened to my guidance. So from my experience, my guidance knows everything, and my wounded self knows nothing, and I don't listen to that voice. And you know it's the voice of your wounded self when you feel that fear, when you feel that anxiety and fear in your stomach. you know that's the voice of your wounded self, that voice is lying to you. It doesn't know anything. And so when you learn and practice inner bonding, you're going to be able to tune into your higher guidance. You're going to be able to access that part of you. And the more you stay open to learning,